Oh, it's a beautiful morning. Well, the moon is waning fast. Time is passing fast, which is not a bad thing. Anyway, Lisa doesn't like talking about investing particularly. And I try to, and I think at the end of the day, Lisa doesn't really trust me all that much. I'm not saying that I'm worthy of tons of trust, but gotta do something. Simply saving money is only workable in a somewhat stable economy. When all the grocery prices are going up, the vast majority of people, you know, and you can blame it on many things, including the government, and it's not that that's untrue, but the whole question is, but what are you going to do because of this? And when you run only on a cash basis, it says, you know, it's better to save money than to spend it. It's not that it's bad advice. It can't be the only advice you take. Oh my. There's some cars parked here, I seem to recall, or something. Maybe it wasn't on this street. They were marked with the little orange stickers that say this car needs to move or it's going to get towed. I get the impression they got towed. I remember my friend Merlin Carling down in Portales. He got into the wrecker business. Interesting business, not a bad one. But he had a pretty good sized farm, which has now become more of a junkyard. Because it becomes the whole thing of, you know, everybody talks about these big auctions, and I used to see them over in Oklahoma City. We were on my way to my work at Dell, and I used to walk it quite often. I went by a big vehicle auction lot, and always Those tractor trailers that haul cars coming and going like crazy. And doing a brisk business, it seemed like, in vehicles, mostly seized for one reason or another. And, police departments, whatever, entities, auction them off. Oh no, here are these cars. Yeah, they have these orange stickers on them. At least there's one of them left. Oh, they're both here. If cars just sit there for too long, they're not being moved. Yeah, see, removal notice, remove them. And they put it right in front of the driver's face so that you can't but miss them. On the interstate, they put them on the side of the car, the driver's window. Anyway. You know, people go, well, you can go down there and you can bid on those. And you go, kind of. But they don't really operate that sort of a business. And they try to make it as difficult as possible. They want brokers to bid on entire lots of cars and buy them that way. They don't want to have to figure this out. They don't want to have to deal with the fact that you'll say, well, I'll have the money Tuesday. It's like, no, we don't deal with that. You've got to come get it. And a lot of these vehicles don't actually run. And so you have to be prepared. And they're the thing. If you win this bid within so many hours or within so many days, you have to come pick up your vehicles. And you've got to have the equipment to do it. And so that's why a lot of these things just, you know, normal people, you have to invest in equipment and towing rigs and stuff like that to be able to play in this little milieu. It's doable, but it's crazy. Anyway, so my friend Merlin had this thing, and his kids, his grandkids. Merlin's just a sweetheart of a guy, and he would let his grandkids go out and pretty much throw rocks at all these cars. I hope he told him about the fact that you shouldn't just throw rocks at cars in general. If you see a car and you think it's abandoned, that doesn't make it subject to having rocks thrown at it. So that's interesting. Anyway, it's an interesting thing because I've had a little bit of exposure to this kind of thing. You know, there's some people that will take these kinds of wrecked cars, and my dad has a friend that does that. Or a person that he's worked with that takes these kinds of cars, fixes them back up, makes them beautiful, sells them for you know, less than what he could probably get for them. And Dad's taken advantage of that a couple of times. Tells me about it, and it's like, well, Dad, if the push comes to shove, yeah. Because you have to go up to Salt Lake and get him, and says, oh, yeah. He says, here, give me a chance to come see the family. That's not a problem. Anyway, so. For people who are willing to invest in that kind of a business, it's usually quite good. This guy only usually has one or two cars that he's fixed up at any given moment. And you just call him and say, what do you got? And he goes, I got this, and I got this. And the prices he wants to charge for them. And it's like, yeah, okay, I'll take that. I'm coming. Here's my money. and a game that only people with cash on hand can play. Now I'm becoming one of those people who can play in that milieu. That's why I'm also a thing about being Ferris is, oh, this is Ferris, not. You try to protect yourself. They go, and I understand. People without means, and to accomplish anything, they have to go deep into debt. They don't have a lot of means. They're, to a certain degree, there are laws put in place to try to protect such people. But, you know, really honestly, there's only so much a person can do. And bad things happen. Especially when people lose whatever income they had. And you go, are you against socialism? And I go, yeah. And you go, it really has to do, you know, it's not about being, well, you're a bad person if you're not in favor of this. And you go, yeah, that's easy for the poor people to say, who say that they need this stuff for free. And if we can get 51% of the population to put this into a law, then the 49% just have to lump it, right? The vaunted, oh, isn't it wonderful to be a democracy? And you go, you know, I'd much rather, if I've got stuff, I'd much rather be generous than have it confiscated from me like I don't deserve to have it. And you go, you guys really do want life to work more this way, because what tends to be is the people who have the most resources and can afford to be the most generous with them will tend to make better choices on how to allocate that money, especially on behalf of the poor. The government is never a good idea, because the government takes advantage of poor people, tries to buy them off in various ways, and that's the poor are the most manipulated group. Like, say, here in the United States, the poor is the most manipulated group in the world, because it ends up being a voting bloc. And somebody to be catered to and pandered to, when many times that is the absolute worst way to handle these issues. At various times there's been welfare to work programs to try and get people working. The system already has some disincentives for such a thing. You have to provide more incentives over what people would normally get to help them get along, to try to get them to stop behaving with kind of a welfare dole mentality. You know, I deserve this stuff. My kids are starving, you know. And these are things that don't amend themselves to kind-heartedness, because it's easy to see there is, you just start getting people that don't do what needs to be done because they don't have to. Like, I probably wouldn't work at the jobs I work at now unless I felt like I had to on a certain level. Or it was some kind of weird status symbol and stuff like that. Anyway, so And when you look at the Democrats and what they promise to poor people and what they try to advertise themselves as, it starts becoming really obvious that it really is a trade of tax money for votes. And it's been like that for quite a while for the Democrats. Now the Republicans basically have sided with big business, and that's and these things are not exclusive at all. It's just the way things are. And yeah. Now, conservative values, and you have to ask, what do conservatives want to conserve? What do they want to keep going? Business prize is always stability. And it's a good thing. You can't do long-term planning very readily unless things are basically stable. But does that play into the hands of big business? Yes. Does big business have more time and more resources and more ability to kind of squash the little guy in favor of profits and stuff like that, you know? And you can say, oh, that's bad, that's evil. And you go, well, if you're running a company, so I don't care what size company it is, are you trying to reduce costs and increase profits? That's what business is about. And that's also what employs you. A big-hearted company can play upon those emotions and may be able to have some good years, but they can't do it forever. The landscape has changed. It used to be a time when one company or another could realistically, once they got to a certain size, could rely upon the fact that they would have 50 years, and people banked on that. You know, I'm going to work for General Electric or IBM or any number of real, what they used to call blue chip companies. Ones that were stable, ones that form the underlay of the economy. As time has progressed, things, just the pace of everything has quickened up to the fact that these things aren't going to survive very long. I work in quasi-governmental institutions, colleges and universities, and these are a little more stable. Although private industry is really starting to make some inroads on these as public education becomes more and more expensive. It opens doors for private entrepreneurial outfits to figure out ways to deliver this stuff. Education stuff. You can say, oh no, it's not stuff. This is, no, it's like any other product. And when you can find a way to deliver that product in a way that's cheaper than what has become the public education model, you know, these things start suffering. And we're in the midst of that. Going to a college to like become a computer scientist or, you know, to be a programmer, that's starting to wane in favor of training programs from various companies that have a certain software stack that they prefer, and they really want to be able to train you themselves. And there's not much competition to it. We've still got the people who just have the traditional mindset, and that's what a lot of public colleges and universities live off of, is the basic mindset. I'm going to college, and I'm going to go and do what college people do, and I'm going to go into such and such a field, and it's going to be great. And you go, that's a wonderful idea. Anyway, okay, let's stop this.